Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. You can take your seats, get your Bibles, and go with me to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Tonight, as you turn there, the title of tonight's message is How to Not Lose Your Mind. Anybody can say, I needed this tonight. Hallelujah. You know, on the way to every breakthrough, we have the opportunity to have a breakdown. Can anybody say amen to that, right? On the way to any breakthrough, we have the opportunity to break down. Why? Because life is tough. Let's be honest with one another. When you look around in the world and you start to see the way things are just going down the tubes, it's discouraging. It can be depressing. In fact, one of the biggest stress indicators is people's mental capacity breaking down. Depression has run rampant in our nation, in our society. People are actually hospitalized. Depression can literally take years off of your life. Stress can cause sicknesses and things like that. And mental breakdown, mental health in recent times has been a particularly large growing concern in our nation and in our society. The pace at which our society goes, just that alone, is enough to make anybody go crazy. I mean, you think about all of the pressures, all of the things. I mean, I'm a dad. I've got three young kids. They range from age 7, 9, and 12. And just taking the kids to activities is enough to drive me crazy sometimes. I feel like Uber dad, right? Dad, I need a lift over here. You know, I need a ride to go there, and I need more money for it. It seems like every time I turn around, I'm just making it rain. I don't know what that's all about, but as the kids get older, someone told me one time, oh, it gets easier as they get older. No, it does not. Can I shrink them back down and freeze them at about 2 to 4 years old when they don't need anything, when they don't want to do sports, when they can finally, you know, maybe I'll just lock them in when they can wipe their own butt, that sort of a thing. But everything else, man, it gets harder. They start asking you questions. They hear something on the television or one of their friends had an issue. And it seems like it gets harder, the stresses that are on young parents. But then add to that business, add to that society, add to that work-related stresses, right? Just to make ends meet, just to pay the bills. Oftentimes when we look at life, we say, my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You go to the grocery store and what used to cost you $100 cost you $200. You go and you look at the gas station and in our state, right, there are taxes that are coming our way and they're telling us that it's only going to be a couple of cents on the dollar over a several year period of time. Listen, the way time flies, it's going to be in no time at all. We're going to be going, oh my goodness, look how much it cost again for a tank of gas. And we can let all that stuff get us down. We can let all that stuff weigh on us. You know, if you look at recent news reports, it seems like every time you turn around, there's another terrorist attack, doesn't it? I mean, we've actually, in our household, my wife and I, when we talk about terrorist attacks, we were talking about, yeah, I remember when they bombed that airport. I forget what nation it was now because there's been so many. That's sad, guys. And the pace at which our society goes, the pace, and globally, as knowledge increases, as communications increase, things that used to take a while for us to get a hold of, now instantly we have access to it. Instantly there are things that we know of, and that's great in certain arenas, but in other ways, it can really weigh you down when you start to get overwhelmed by the amount of need, by the amount of things that are taking place, by what you can see, and it can literally take you down, and you can lose your mind. You can just flat out have a nervous mental breakdown, and you can sit down and have a good cry over it. Or you can get a hold of the Word of God, which gives you the power to have peace in every situation. In fact, the Word of God will keep you steady. God doesn't want you to lose your mind. God wants you to stand in faith and believe Him. God wants you to take a stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, therefore stand. God wants you to be able to weather every storm. God wants you to be able to go through every trial. God wants to stand with you in the fire. Come on, somebody. God is right there giving you the power and the tools that you need to overcome in every situation of life. And so tonight I want to just open up the Bible with you. You know, Wednesday night is our Wednesday night Bible study. We call it Bible study, even though it's church. We gather together and we get into the scriptures every time we come together. It's a Bible study. We open the Bible together. We're not preaching out of Reader's Digest suggestions. We're not looking on the internet for a blog about what someone has to say. We want to find out what God has to say about life. We want to find out what the Holy Spirit wants to illuminate into our hearts about the Word of God, which is the eternal Word of God. And as you get a hold of these principles tonight, I believe that not only will you not lose your mind, but that you will also have peace in the midst of every problem. I believe that tonight as you get a hold of the word of God, that not only will you not lose your mind, but that you will know exactly what to do when you feel the stress and the pressure of life come on you, when you see the news reports, when you hear stuff coming down the pike at work, when you hear about what your neighbors are talking about, when you're listening to your teenage daughter or son's door and you're freaking out on the inside. You will know exactly what to do in any and every situation. Anybody want to hear about that tonight? Philippians chapter number 4. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. Now, the church at Philippi is an interesting church. When you take a look at the history of it, Paul was called over to the Macedonian churches. He traveled over there. He had the vision, and he goes there, and he finds a businesswoman who is a Jew, and so they didn't really have a synagogue there. And normally, it was his custom to go to the synagogue, but he finds out where they're gathering. They're gathering down by the river, and so he starts to strike up relationships, starts to preach the gospel. Lydia believes, right? She welcomes them into her home. There's all sorts of amazing things that take place, right? He casts the devil out of a young girl, lands him in jail, and then one of his next converts is the jailer of the place, right? Him and his whole household get saved after a miraculous event in the middle of the night. And so here Paul is departed. He's heading through life, and he's gone through some trials. He's had imprisonment and chains, and now he writes back after about a decade to the church at Philippi, and Philippi was a city that was really a kind of a Roman outpost. The Romans gave this land away to a lot of their military leaders, and so they prided themselves in being Roman. And so there were some things that were taking place that Paul addresses. Wants them to be united, but he also wants them to have joy. And so here he is, and he's writing to this church, and he writes these words. And I would imagine that these words, not only when you take a look at the context of life in Philippi, I believe it would be a lot like life here today, here and now. You've got people in this room that are people who do business, people that believed, people that maybe you had a sordid past and you were maybe like the jailer where you were in a profession or you did things that you weren't necessarily proud of, but you got a hold of Jesus and now your life is forever changed. I would imagine there are people in this place that you pride yourself in being an American or being a Californian or being here in San Bernardino or the IE, right? And yet there can be divisions, right, culturally, and when we look around in our nation, there are things that take place that can either separate us and divide us, or we can listen to the word of God, which unites us as well as brings us the joy of the Lord. So here he writes, and really he's not just writing to the church of Philippi, this is the Holy Spirit talking to you and talking to me today. Look at verse number 6, and we're going to read through verse number 9. Verse number 6 says this, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse number 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Verse number 9, the things that you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, part of my spiritual routine, if you will, okay, a lot of times people don't like routines. I like routines because they keep me in a place with God. Did you know that Jesus had customs? He had things that he did on the regular. The apostles, you'll find them at the hour of prayer. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want my relationship with God to be routine. I don't either, right? But I think routines help us to keep relationship with God. It's like my wife saying, have you called your mom, right? And it's just the same thing, right? If I don't have some sort of consistency in building a relationship, if I just said, hey, just whenever I feel like calling or whenever I feel like having a relationship, I would have no relationship because life can get you busy and get you distracted. So part of my spiritual routine is every morning I read from the Old Testament, every night before bed I read from the New Testament. I can't tell you how many times I've read through this passage and just like that, read through it and missed what God is speaking to me. And I believe that in these scriptures you will find what it takes to not lose your mind. Hello? Because we can read this and it can have no effect and no power in our lives. But when you start to realize God is speaking to me. Wait. God, creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who wrote the plan of redemption, the one who came and veiled himself in flesh, The one who is the Holy Spirit that is released on the earth now. The one who searches the deep things of God and now reveals them to us. This is God. This is the one who breathed and planets became and light existed. And the one who created all of the ecosystems and the structures here on the earth. He went from the macro solar universe to the microcellular part of our being. He knows the innermost parts and saw us formed and knit together in our mother's womb. This is the God who is talking to you and talking to me every time we read this Bible. And these are not just words on a page. This is not just a history lesson. This is God speaking to you and to me, telling us how to not lose your mind in the middle of all this chaos, in the middle of all this distraction, in the middle of all the busyness. See, anxiety will come to our lives. There's going to be things that make us anxious, things that when you start to think about, you might break out in a cold sweat. Going to be things that weigh on you, no matter what walk of life, what occupation, what you do in life, relationships, different things, news reports, all that kind of stuff. You will not have things in life that just don't affect you all the time. There's going to be things, and even though you may be a relaxed person, my personality, I'm very relaxed. I'm very chill. I don't let things get to me, you know? I had one friend one time say, man, you could punch Dan in the face, and he'd be just bummed out. Why did you do that? You know, I wouldn't retaliate. That's just the type of person I am. But even if you have the most relaxed personality like me, things will still weigh on you and there comes a breaking point. Eventually there will be this straw that breaks the camel's back and things can come against you and you will want to lose your mind over it. You'll want to just be frustrated. You want to lay down and just give up. And yet God gives us his word and he says, be anxious for nothing. That's a commandment of God. Did you know that? Be anxious for nothing. So should we not think about things? Like, for instance, a couple of days ago in our news reports, we just had a terrorist attack. So should I not think about that, right? If I'm not going to lose my mind over it, maybe I should ignore it. Maybe I should just bury my head in the sand and not even think about it. Well, no, we need to think about those things. We need to understand that those things are taking place. We don't need to be just covering our eyes and ignoring things. We need to know that things are going on. So what do we do when things trouble us? What do we do when we know that our children are messing up and messing around? Should we ignore it? What do we do when we know that somebody is cheating on the job? What do we do when we know that somebody has wronged us? What do we do when we know that there are things in our society that are troubling? What do we do when we know that there are murders taking place in San Bernardino and in the surrounding areas? What do we do when we know that drug dealers are stalking our children, that sex trafficking is going on? See, there's a lot of stuff that can trouble us. What do we do with that? Do we ignore it? Do we go around like Christians in La La Land that just check our brains at the door and we come in and we sing hallelujah and praise the Lord and then we go out of here and nothing's changed? Absolutely not. The Word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So that shows me we need to take every thought to prayer. If you're not going to lose your mind over what is going on in life and in the world, you need to take every thought to God in prayer. In other words, there's going to be trouble that comes against you. Like Jesus said, in the world, you will have trouble. It's guaranteed. You're going to have things that trouble you. And yet, if you're not going to lose your mind, you're going to have to take every thought to prayer. It's that simple. Just bring it to God. So, okay, a terrorist attack happens. What do I do with that? Take it to God in prayer. God, this just happened. Lord, I pray that you comfort those people that are suffering and that lost loved ones. God, I pray that you set a hedge of protection around and about innocent lives. God, I pray for Christians to rise up in that area. And Lord, I pray, God, that the church would shine during this time, that they would bring the help and the healing and the hope of Jesus Christ to these people that are lost and hurting and broken. Pray for the terrorists. You ever thought about that? Jesus said, pray for your enemies and those who persecute you and spitefully use you. Have you asked God for the salvation of those that are terrorizing Christians and that are persecuting Christians? See, these are things that we should take to God in prayer. And when you take them to God and you start to pray for them, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to hate them. You're going to end up having compassion and love for them because you're going to see them through God's eyes. Need to take everything to God in prayer. When things trouble you and you don't know how to approach or confront a situation, someone has wronged you or your kids are messing around and you don't have the wisdom that you need and it's starting to frustrate you, you can feel that tension, you can feel boiling or burning or weight or pressure or stress or the cold sweats or whatever it is, you're losing sleep, take it to God in prayer. God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't know what to say. God, I don't know what is going on. God, I just be real with God. You know, sometimes we think a prayer is so formal. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a good prayer to pray, by the way. something great. That's a great starting point. That's a great outline for prayer. There's great wisdom in those verses. That's the words of Jesus when he taught us how to pray. But if all it is a formula without your heart and without your life involved in it and invested in it, it's just empty religious words. And so in that, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Start to worship the name of Jesus. Start to lift up the name of the Lord. Start to bring that up to him, right? Thy kingdom come. Lord, not the kingdom of man. Lord, not what men would want to do on the earth. See, now all of a sudden you've got an outline that frames your prayers, something that can take you to God in prayer. Your will be done, God, not the will of the devil, not the will of stealing, killing, and destroying lives. Not my will, God. Your will be done, Lord. I don't know what to do, but you do, God. And I don't want the will of man on the earth. I want the will of God be accomplished on the earth as it is in heaven. See, now you've got a powerful prayer. Now you've got something to work with. Sink your heart in it. Take everything to God in prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 in the Living Bible says this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I love that. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. Isn't that good? Tell God your needs. So, do anybody ever feel guilty always asking God for something? It's okay to be honest, all right? I have felt guilty. God, I feel bad asking you for stuff all the time, right? And yet God says, take your needs to him. God already knows what you have need of. You're not surprising him. God's not saying, here they come again, right? Jesus gave a parable about a woman going before an unjust judge that wearied him by her coming. And what did he say? If the unjust judge was unjust, how much more your Father in heaven will give you the things that you have need of? See, God wants you to come to him. God wants you to bring prayers to him. God wants you to bug him. God wants you to come and see him. God wants you to check in. God wants you to check up. And don't worry about anything. But in everything, bring your request to God and don't forget to thank him for his answers. I love that. How good is that? Thank him in advance before you even see it. That's called faith. Look at what it says. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. You won't lose your mind. You'll get the peace of God. And it says, his peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. See, our thoughts can make mountains out of molehills, or our faith can move mountains. Let me say that again. Our thoughts can make mountains out of molehills, or our faith can move mountains. It's just the direction that you choose to focus your mind. So you can either set your mind on worry, fear, frustration, anxiety, doubt, unbelief, or you can set your mind to say, you know what? I'm going to believe what God has to say. I'm going to meditate on the things of God. I'm going to take all this to God in prayer. We can choose where our thoughts go. Did you know that you can choose to say, I'm not going to think that thought? I'm not going there in my thinking. I'm not going to allow myself. And anytime you start to wander, you bring yourself right back. No, I'm not going there. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to allow those things to continually plague my mind. You say, but Pastor, I find myself doing that all the time. Yes, you got to recognize it, and then you got to replace it. You got to meditate on truth. Okay, look at what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, in the Old King James Version, okay, the OKJV, all right? Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life. Everybody say, take no thought. Take no thought. Jesus said, don't take it, right? That means that's a choice. Think about it like an item on the shelf at a grocery store. As you're walking by, you can take it, or you can leave it, right? Jesus said, take no thought for your life. Modern translations say, don't worry about your life. Don't get worried, don't get frustrated, don't be anxious about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, or for your body, what you will put on. Look at what he says, okay? He says, what did you put on? Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? In the newer translation, it says, isn't the body more than food and your outward appearance more than clothing? Right? See, there are things that we worry about. We worry about where we're going to get our next paycheck, where we're going to get our next meal. Worry about what's going to happen in life and what people think about us. God says, don't worry about those things. Take no thought for your life. You don't have to worry about those things. If God's going to clothe the flowers of the field, which today are, and then tomorrow burn in the fire, right? If God's going to take the birds of the air and he's going to feed them full meals each and every day, some of those birds are so fat, especially the ones outside of McDonald's. Come on. But he said, take no thought. If God's going to feed the birds with French fries, how much more is God going to feed you with good things? Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Notice, don't focus on the lies. Focus on the truth. See, the more truth you fill up inside, when the lie comes, you'll recognize that it's a counterfeit. Do you know at banks, they don't study counterfeits. They study real dollars, real bills. They feel them. They smell them. They hold them up to the light, and they examine the different things that happen. They look at how it reacts to certain chemicals. They study those bills, the real bills, so that when the counterfeit comes along and they're counting fast, they go, oh, wait a second, this doesn't feel right. Then they hold it up to the light and they say, this doesn't look right. They smell it, it doesn't smell right. They put the little mark on it and they say, it doesn't react the right way. See, in our lives, we spend so much time looking at all the stuff around there in the world, and yet the world's gonna tell you lies. Why? Because the world system is under the sway of the wicked one. You can read that in your Bible. And the wicked one is the father of lies. Is that right?
Yes.
The devil is the father of lies. Therefore, when you look around in the world and you study the world and you get full of the world, you're going to understand the lie. But if you fill up on the word of God, which is truth, Jesus said your word is truth. When you fill up on the truth of God's word, what God has to say about your life, and when you think on things that are true, then you will know the counterfeit when it comes along, because it won't feel right, it won't smell right, it won't look right, and it won't react the right way in your life. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble or honorable. You know, there's a lot of filthy stuff out there that we think about. We think about what so-and-so celebrity wore on the Billboard Music Awards runway. I don't know why people are spending time. I saw somebody, they were talking about the terrorist attack recently. They said, what celebrities are tweeting? I could give a care less about what celebrities have to say about a terrorist attack. That's great. I'm glad you tweeted something. But listen, I'm going to listen to what God said, because God does not tweet. God speaks. And this is the word of God, and it's honorable. Whatever things are honorable. Sorry, I'm getting on a soapbox here. I'm ranting. Whatever things are just. You know, God is the just one. There's no unjust part of God. God is never unjust. You say, well, God's not fair. Not everything in life is going to be fair, but God is just, no matter what. And whatever God says is pure and true and right. It may not make sense with our thinking, may not feel good to our flesh, but it's just. Think on things that are just. Look at what it goes on to say. It says, whatever things are pure. Pure means unspotted, undefiled, unpolluted. It is pure. It's 100%. Think on things that are pure. You know the love of God is pure. It's pure. It's undefiled. It's untainted. You can dwell on how much God loves you. That's a pure thing to dwell on. The Bible says marriage is honorable, and the marriage bed undefiled and pure. See, a lot of men get caught up thinking about things that are impure rather than thinking about their marriage, thinking about the wife of their youth that the Bible says you are to delight yourself in. Drink water from your own well. See, drink pure water. Don't go after that polluted water out there in the world that's a counterfeit, that's going to tell you that that's going to fulfill you or make you happy or sustain you. No, you delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Delight yourself in the way of the Lord. King David, when he messed up, God said, if that wasn't enough, you already had wives, you already had women. If that wasn't enough, wouldn't I have given you more? See, when we start to delight ourselves in the Lord, we think on things that are pure. It'll keep us from trouble. It'll keep us from defilement. It'll keep us from impurity. He says, whatever things are lovely. Oh my goodness, did you know that it's good for us to think on things that are lovely? Because there's a whole lot of ugliness out there in the world. You know, somebody comes along and tells you you're stupid, they have a bad attitude, they have an ugly attitude, and it just affects us. It wrecks us the whole day, right? It's almost like they vomited on us, and all we can do the rest of the day is smell it, right? It's probably kind of a gross illustration. I'm sorry that I had to use that, but hopefully you got the point. But we allow those things to affect us rather than think on things that are lovely. You know, there's a saying in our society that says, stop and smell the what?
Roses.
Roses. Or wake up and smell the
coffee,
right? There are other smells that are out there other than vomit. You get what I'm saying? You don't have to think about vomit. You can think about roses, or if you're, you know, into roses and beauty and that sort of thing and the wonderful smells of the roses, or if you're a coffee person, man, wake up and smell it. Get that in your system. That's a lovely, aromatic, smooth, blended flavor of Folgers crystals or whatever it is you like, right? Somebody said you, Ben. I'm just playing with you now. $4. He says, whatever things are of good report. You know, there's bad reports that come to us all the time. Economy's tanking. They're giving out pink slips. Have you heard? Right? Bad reports come all the time. Go to the doctor. Bad reports. I'm not getting down on doctors, not getting down on the news media. I'm just saying there's a lot of bad reports that we can meditate on. And that as we meditate on those things, they will bring us down and they will make us lose our mind if we focus on those things too long. God doesn't want us to lose our mind. He wants us to take those reports to him in prayer. God, I heard about this on the news. God, I heard about what's taking place. God, somebody said this. God, I'm just bringing this up. Remember, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, right? Pray about everything and ask God for your needs. Think on the good reports. What does God have to say about my health? The doctor has this to say, and I'm going to work on that in the natural. But what does God say? God says, the report of the Lord is that by his stripes I was healed. That's the report I'm going to think on. The report of the world, the economy is going down, but my Bible says the report of the Lord is that I'm blessed. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am prosperous. I am successful. As I meditate on the word of God and do not let it depart from my lips, that I will prosper and be of good success. You know, success is a Bible word. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? I am successful because God says I am. Because I have the word of God and I'm meditating not on the report of the world, but on the report of the Lord. Whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, anything that is morally excellent. You know, the world has their standard of goodness, right? But how much more so in us, the Christians who have God himself on the inside of us, who alone is good. Anything that is morally excellent or virtuous by nature of itself, think on those things. If there be any virtue, if there anything praiseworthy, if there be any praise, meditate on these things. You know, one of the best ways to do this is find a song. Find a praise song. Turn on the radio, go to Christian radio. My goodness, you can find a song, right? Other day, you know what I woke up with in my spirit? My God is good. I just had that rolling around. Some of you guys, I knew Pastor Dan was black, right? Just woke up with it rolling around on the inside. Why? Because I put it in there, and there was some praise going on the inside of me, and I just woke up, and the song actually says, because he woke me up this morning to see a brand new day, right? You can let that stuff roll around, and you know, sometimes people say, I can't memorize scripture, but you can memorize a song. Right? Everybody's got a prostitute's number memorized that grew up in a certain area, because 8675... Whoa. How did you memorize it? Because you sang it. Sometimes people say, well, I don't like Christian music because it's not as good as the world. Well, the world's going to drag you to hell. Christian music's going to lift you up and encourage you. So guess what? I don't care if it's hokey. Get that in your system rather than the prostitute's number. Hello, come on, somebody.
I just listened to the beats, Pastor.
Sure you do. Let me start wrapping some of that filthiness and let's see how much of that comes out of you because you put it in. Garbage in, garbage out. Praise in, praise out. Worship in, word in, word out. Word up, right? Now, hello, right? Some of you 90s kids know what I'm talking about. Word, Pastor. Put the word in. Start to memorize. You know there are some beautiful songs, right? How about this one? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You're singing Isaiah. Hello? Right? How about this one? You guys, some of you guys remember the old days, right? Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Anybody can sing this one with me? And renew a right spirit within me. You're singing the Psalms. Okay, you guys didn't like that one? All right, let's try this one. Ready? Let me see here. Ready? Come on. Let's get it going. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Some of you guys thought I was going to sing Bloody on Your Face. There's a wrong song. Wrong song. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, that's the kind of stuff that you want rolling out of your body, out of your life, because that is the word of God, and that's what's going to build faith on the inside of you and help you not to lose your mind. Next time I'll bring my guitar and we'll sing Kumbaya. I heard a story of a woman whose friend wondered why she was so cheerful, why she was also always so happy. And she started to say, well, why? Why are you so happy? Why are you so cheerful? What if you get sick? What if you get laid off? What if tragedy strikes? She said, I don't listen to what if, I listen to what is. And the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me to lie down beside the green pastures. He restores my soul. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. See, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, you can lose your mind over what ifs, or you can keep your mind over what is, and you can dwell on truth. I gotta run. The greater the place you give these things in your mind, the more you think about these things, the greater influence they will have in your life. Okay? This is where the rubber meets the road. The more you think on this stuff, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? That's what the word of God says. So the greater place you give them up here in your thinking, the greater they're going to be working in your life. Because whatever you think about is going to express itself in your life. Let me give you an example. When you were a kid, did you do this? Did you watch a movie, and after that movie was over, you became what you just watched? You're laughing because you were a ninja. You were Spider-Man, right? You were a cowboy. Some of you guys were a part of the Star Wars crew, right? Some of you guys didn't have any time for Star Wars. You were Star Trek, right? You were whatever you just watched. Some of you guys grew up watching ER and you put on the doctor's uniform afterwards and you went and you did autopsies on your teddy bears. Why? Because you were dwelling on it. You were thinking on it. You were visualizing something, and you saw yourself in that. Some of you guys were raised with American Idol, and every night before bed, you sang in front of the judges with your hairbrush. Why? Because you were visualizing something. It was growing strong in your thinking, and the more you thought about it, the more it expressed itself in your life. Same thing with the Word of God. The more you visualize, the more you think about the Word of God, the more you dwell on it, the more you meditate on it. Meditate in the Bible, you will find means to bring it up over and over again, like a cow chewing its cud. You bring it up again, and it's in your mouth, right? You speak the Word of God. You mutter it. You meditate on it. You dwell on it. The more you talk about it, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So if you can hear yourself speaking the Word of God, it will build faith on the inside of you, and the more you have it up here, the stronger it grows in here, the more it will work itself out in your life, in your everyday activities. That's how this works. Let me close with this. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. The life that I lived in front of you, the script that God had written out that I lived in front of you, I want you guys to do what you saw me do. What you saw in me, I want you to do. These do, and look at what it says, and the God of peace will be with you. Did you know that you can move into peace? Yes. You can literally move into peace. The more you do the things of God, the more you do the word of God, the more that the God of peace will be with you. The more God's presence will be in your life. And wherever God's presence is, there his peace will be. There could be war raging around all on every side of you. But the moment God shows up, God ends the war because he's the strongest. He's the best. He's the biggest. He's the baddest in the bestest way. God is the one who can stop every fight. He's the one who can quench the violence of the fire. He's the one that can shut the mouths of the lions. He's the one that can raise you up out of the ashes. He is the one who can do what no man can do on your behalf. God is the only each one and true God, and wherever God is, there his presence is, there his power is, there his peace is. Like bookends in these scriptures. Notice what it says. It says that, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, present your request to God, and the peace of God, there's one bookend. And then on the other end, it says, what you have heard and seen and learned in me, these do, and the God of peace. So on one end, you have the peace of God. On the other end, you have the God of peace, sandwiching it all together. How not to lose your mind? Get with God. Pray about everything. Take all of your thoughts to God. Meditate on truth and move into peace. I want to end with a letter from one of our members. So cool. Actually, I got a praise report and a letter. Okay? I'm going to end with these things. First one, we'll do the praise report. Just a couple of weeks ago, it was Mother's Day, and we had the Mother's Day blessing. We anointed everybody in the room, lined everybody up, and prayed just a prayer of protection. We got a praise report from a man named Stephen. He called from Oklahoma, say he was here on Mother's Day, was anointed with oil, and he was a truck driver, and drove big wheel trucks, cross country, that sort of a thing. And there was a tornado in Oklahoma, right? Shocker, I know. He'd been involved in a tornado, and listen to this, God protected him. Even though many of the other truckers around him had terrible accidents, he was anointed by God, and he was here at the church, had the truth of God, had the anointing of God, and as he was driving, the tornado didn't touch him. He wasn't involved in an accident, even though he was in the middle of a tornado. Guys, the more you're in the presence of God, the more the peace of God will guard your heart and mind, but the God of peace will be with you. And then we had a sister in the church who had a battle with cancer, and so she was getting a biopsy report done, and so she wrote this: Dearest Pastor Dan and Jessica, Joel, Joanna, staff, Sister Mignon, Brother Brian, Breaking Free Mentors, Lifeline Ministry, everybody. And she says this. She says, thank you all for holding me up in prayers and believing God for Father God's great medical report. Okay, remember, are you gonna meditate on the negative report or upon the report of the Lord? Look at what she goes on to say. She says, let me find my spot. I lost my spot. Okay. She says, as I waited for the biopsy appointment and for results, I began to receive beautiful cards in the mail overflowing from our Father's house, the Rock Church Lifeline Ministry. I cried out to Father God, lifting each one to heaven and thanking him daily for his family. Listen to this. I wasn't thinking about the biopsy. I even forgot to call and get the results. Now that's great faith. He has given me his family. I thank God for every sister and brother who touched and wrote out his or her heart to God first and then to me. We're never alone. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to comfort through his family. We must all remember that. Believe. I thank God in remembrance for all of you in every prayer of mine, for each of you making mention of you in my prayers with joy. Philippians 1:3-4. Thank God for his blessings. Love you all. And then she signs her name. Isn't that an amazing testimony? And she's doing great, by the way. She's doing great, by the way. Whose report are you going to believe? What are you going to meditate on? What are you going to think about? Are you going to lose your mind? No, not going to lose our mind. This is how not to lose your mind. You take every thought to God in prayer, then you meditate on the truth, and finally you move into peace because the God of peace will be with you. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.